Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, for centuries, the ultra-wealthy have been putting their money where their mouths are by investing in fine wine. And now, with Vint, you can do that too. At Vint, we offer SEC-qualified investment opportunities of fine wine and spirits curated by our experts with portfolio managers. With Vint, you can invest and diversify into the most sought-after assets that have a history of price appreciation. Learn more at Vint.co. For full investment disclosure information and more, visit Vint.co.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the DOHS podcast, the Document Our History podcast, which is a bibliotherapy podcast for victims and survivors of sexual and gender-based violence. My name is Ololade Ajayi, your host for the DOHS podcast, and a shout out to our sponsors, the Gostin Center for Human Rights at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. Today, we're flipping the script. We're outside, we were invited by HeyTV Live to speak on what the DOHS podcast is about. And I'm hoping that a lot of people get to learn what we do, also get to learn about what constitutes abuse and what can be done. Thank you.
Welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be picking up from where we left off on one of our earlier topics, the cycle of domestic violence. But today, we'll be looking at it from a different perspective and heading into uncharted territory. And that is why on set with me is a very important guest, and she's very suitable to have this discussion with us. She is Ololade Ajayi, a writer, a podcast host, and also an award-winning poet and a woman and girls advocate. Please join me as we welcome her on set. You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you very much. It's so great to be here.
It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. So, a podcast host, you want to start with that and tell us more about yourself?
Of course. My podcast is called Document Our History Podcast. The Document Our History Podcast is a bibliotherapy podcast. That's hosted on several podcast hosting platforms, Spreaker, Spotify, and the rest. Let me go into bibliotherapy so that you don't...
Yes, hold that thought. Okay. Bibliotherapy, by the way, is the topic for today's discussion. Please go on, ma'am.
Okay, so bibliotherapy literally means healing through words, like therapy through books. So it's like you come to a church for healing, now you come to books for healing, or you come to a psychologist for healing. Yeah, so that's what therapy is about. It's just using books to, recommending books as therapy for people. Words that you know that when you speak these words to people, they begin to find their healing. So on the DOHS podcast, DOHS, that's the acronym for the Document Our History podcast, DOHS podcast. We use poetry therapy to address some select persons on the DOHS podcast. And these select persons are survivors or victims of sexual and gender-based violence. Those are the people that come to the DOHS podcast to tell their stories. Yes, okay. To share their stories. And when they share their stories, you know, we ask them questions, what would that be? And at the end of the day, we read poems to them, poems that we know that will address what they've been through, problems that they can relate with, to help them to begin to find their healing.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, sharing your story is also a part of therapy.
Of course it is.
Yeah, when you talk about your story on the podcast, you see us, sometimes we cry, we hug, we laugh.
Yeah.
It's just basically finding our way towards healing from trauma, disabusing the minds of these survivors and victims. That's what we do on the DHS podcast.
That's wonderful. And it's very new to me because mostly people are referred to psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, but finding healing through literature is a very, very new therapeutic measure for this kind of scenario.
Yeah, well, it may be new in this climate in Nigeria, but bibliotherapy is actually a very old practice in that it's been practiced for decades of years. In the Western world, what they do is they like you have a therapist, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, you know, when people from, you know, these survivors or even people who have one ailment or the other go to the hospital and they're like, you know, you've given them different kind of treatment and they're not responding. Mm-hmm. And you know that this person is not, the ailment is not, is mostly mental, you know, so they refer them to either psychologist, or bibliotherapist.
Okay.
Bibliotherapists are like, they practice it, they get paid for their services over there.
Wow.
I mean, I've seen some people practicing in Nigeria before I started. Excuse me. But that's basically, there's a professor in the University of Badu, and I think there's someone in, this is university in Ota, Winners University, Covenant University.
University.
I mean, I had to like go and search for them online. The DOHS podcast is the first bibliotherapy podcast in Nigeria for, you know, the Hafaz bibliotherapy as a method of healing for victims of sexual and gender-based violence.
And survivors.
Yes.
Okay, on your profile, you also stated that you are an award-winning poet. You want to tell us about that?
Well...
Is that what initiated the bibliotherapy?
Okay, so how did I get into bibliotherapy? I early 2020, late 2020, I think I started, there was a course I did online at the University of Iowa in 2021, and then it was basically on medicine and on narrative medicine. Narrative medicine is just using literature, you know, to address medicine, about knowing the patient's history, you know, just not just treating ailments, just, you know, getting into why is there a history of somebody in the family, which also helps medical personnel to, you know, better understand their patients and also recommend other sources of.
Yeah, that would also mean delving into the past.
Yes, yes.
And are they willing to open up to you?
So that's the thing, because if you have a patient, for instance, that comes to the hospital, you know, scars, for instance, and she says, oh, I fell down the staircase, and she's pregnant the first time. The second time, you see, you know, similar wounds, and, you know, you begin to wonder, you begin to, and then at the end of the day, you just ask some questions, and then they just find out
that situation.
That patient is a victim of domestic violence. You just have some questions that you ask. So it's basically their past and history. And you know, you begin to tell them, but this is what you can do. And bibliotherapy on our podcast is about also, you know, getting them information that can help. What do you do if you're a domestic violence victim and you're coming to the hospital for this? Can you go to a shelter? Can we, you know, can we begin the process of prosecution? So on the DOHS podcast, that's part of what we do, apart from, you know, reading them poems, letting them share their stories, own their experience,
help them find justice.
Of course, you know, we follow them to the court, we take them to the police station, we begin to find ways to disabuse them. And if you want to transition from a victim to a survivor, you cannot do that without getting justice. So that's what we help them to transition from that victim position to a survivor. That's what we help them do.
Okay. Now, Lolade, many of the people that come to you, the survivors, the victims, they are mostly females. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Have you had any opportunity to mentor or help or mitigate a male person?
So, the DOHS podcast is strictly a platform for women and girls and children, endangered children. Endangered children in this case may be male or female. It's true. But we cater to survivors who are females right now. Now, we have other things that we do that can cater for men in general. But the podcast focuses on women sharing their stories. But for instance, myself, I go on advocacy visits, advocacy campaigns to communities. Oh yeah, so recently we myself and some other organizations advocate for children and vulnerable persons network, and also PAFIN, People's Health Advocacy, Health Awareness. We went to a community that we knew that they were, so many reported cases of sexual and gender-based violence, and we discovered that in this community, this thing is so rampant that, and people were not reporting. So we went there to advocate. We organized the medical outreach, and we also went to speak to them about sexual and gender-based violence. And we got some cases from there. Some people reported abuse. In fact, there was a case of a little girl who had just been raped. A week before, she was about 9 years old. She stayed with her mother, and she was there. When we get such cases from the community, we take it up to police stations. And also, we also go to, recently I was in a secondary school. I've been to about 3 secondary schools this year in Lagos, advocating for gender-based violence to be known, for people to recognize the signs. Sexual violence, what do you do in case it happens to you? How do you prevent it? What are the factors? What constitutes abuse? I've been to several schools in the first stage of advocate for eradication of sexual and gender-based violence.
So how do you portray the message to students in secondary school, for instance?
So we ask them, what do you know about abuse? What constitutes abuse? So we tell them several things that constitute abuse, maybe sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, so many forms of abuse. And then we ask them, what do you know about this? What do you know about this? And, we portray scenarios. For instance, like, when I start, I say, okay, I'm going on the street, I'm wearing a very short skirt and a alternate top, and I'm going on the street, and I just mention a name. For instance, I say, Jamala sees you on the road, he said hi, and he goes by and he doesn't do anything to you. Tunde sees you, apologies to anybody bearing that name, it's not you. So,
fictitious names.
Yeah. You pass by Tunde and they say, oh, you can what this one is wearing. He doesn't even answer you, you say, wait. And then you go by the street and you see Lasisi. And Lasisi grabs you and takes you to a corner and rapes you. And then I said, okay, in this scenario, who is responsible for the rape? And the students say, oh, that is you. It's you. Who were you wearing the alternate? What were you doing? I'm like, okay. So I'm to be blamed for somebody raping me. Okay, fine. Okay, so what about Jamala that I passed by the first instance that didn't rape me? What about Jim? Why did Lassie have to rape me? So I began to teach them, to reorientate them that this is what constitutes victim shaming. And this is what should never be. Now, an abuser is to be blamed, is to be shamed, not the victim. Now, the victim is the victim, and the rapist is the rapist is the rapist. There's nothing you can do about it, because I believe the rape is a mental problem. And, you see people that are even decently dressed.
Yes, and they still get raped.
And they still get raped. You see babies get raped. You see old women get raped. So, we let them know that, no, you should never blame the victim. These are the things that help this cycle of violence to perpetuate, because the abusers get away with it. The victim is left in the shame. So we do everything that we can to advocate for for an end to sexual and gender disparities, to gender equality, to promote it. You know, we just help in the any way we can. The podcast also promotes it and go out on this advocacy message to students.
Well, that's fantastic, because bringing that scenario to the notice of the students, I know it was very practical and it was very relatable.
Yeah.
And they were able to say, you were the one, you were dressing inappropriately for them, but you were also able to make them understand that nobody has the right to touch you regardless of what you are.
That's very
important. Now, what process will be involved in helping a victim? Now, ma'am, what process is involved in helping a victim to find justice right from the
very onset? Okay, so what we do is we also educate people about, you know, preventing all of these scenarios. So we say, in case this happens, so this is what we do. For example, a rape victim, what should you do? For instance, you should first of all go to a sexual assault referral center, and it helps if such victims don't bathe. Just go there directly so that they can still get evidence of referral evidence. We have so many of them. We have Mirabel in Kenya, we have Warri Center in Yaba, in Lagos, and we have so many of them that you can use. Or just walk into an hospital and tell them about it, and then let them get evidence and go to the police station to report the case. We always tell them about it. And also, when we see such cases, immediately we go to the primary police station, so that the person, the nearest police station, go to report those cases. When they know that we know what we're talking about, that this is either if it's a minor, we call it defilement, and then laws. Funny enough, Nigeria has beautiful laws about sexual and gender-based violence. The VAP Act, VAPP Act 2019, says, defines clearly what rape is. It doesn't say it's only, I hope I can be frank.
Oh, please, be
okay. It doesn't say it's only, you know, penetration of vagina. It says it is penetration of any hole in your body, be it the vagina, be it the anus, be it your mouth, be it your once there's penetration without consent, first that rapers occurred. And you know, in Lagos State, you know, I'm the Lagos State judiciary on rape issues. I'm so very proud of that. You've seen this is whereby they give people life sentences.
Wow.
52 years.
Wow.
And they have a sexual offender's list.
Wow.
So
but that's just commendable.
Yeah. People just need to know, need to report these cases.
There needs to be awareness. More awareness that there is help, support for victims and abused people.
Yeah.
Very encouraging.
They need to speak about it. We need to condemn people that shame the victims. We need to shame the abusers instead.
That's another category on it.
Exactly. In fact, it's a conversation for another day because it could be on it for hours.
It is. Because some people, especially when they are trying to protect the victims, especially maybe the victim is a father or a well-known person in the family.
A relative. It's very common. It's very common. There's something they say, you but it's like, let's keep it family.
Yeah, don't let wash our dirty linen.
Yeah, and the thing is that the abuser, the victim never recovers from the abuse.
They don't. It's a mark for life.
The trauma is forever. And it keeps.
We are talking about mental health.
Yes.
They all contribute to the factor.
And that's why we concentrate on the GHS podcast on breaking the cycle of violence.
Yeah.
Because a child that was abused, if no intervention was made, if no mental health intervention as well was made, if no physical or medical intervention was made, that child is likely to be an abuser in the future.
Very likely.
A child who witnessed domestic violence in the home, So that's why this conversation is very important.
Very important.
For us to keep having this conversation, breaking stereotypes.
It's the least we can do. So we have been discussing with Ololade Ajayi, and she has been helping us understand what it means to be sexually abused and how we can find closure. We'll go on a short break, and when we come back, she will be guiding us through her book that helps us with affirmative words to heal and to find closure. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly. You're still watching Doing Family with me on African Entertainment Television. Now, Madam Ololade, we would like to know how you minister or how you administer these therapeutic words when you have survivors come to your help.
Like I said, I read poems to these survivors. The poems that I have written in the past, also I solicit for these poems sometimes. I co-host the poetry platform with someone. It's called Poetic Gang. People submit poems on Poetic Gang that you read to me.
On any topic? Poems about anything?
Yeah, but specifically for these survivors, we read poems about that are related to their stories or to a new beginning or you surviving abuse and how to take it day by day. And you know, it's so wonderful the feedback that I get from them. There was someone who is a person living with HIV that came on the show to the podcast that we recorded a story, and you know, I just searched for poems online and I got a poem that someone wrote for people living with HIV, and I read it to her. And, you know, the feedback was wonderful. Like she said that, and that poem was about you looking in the mirror and seeing yourself first before seeing your condition. She remarked that she felt wonderful afterward. Like when she gets home now, like she doesn't even remember all day that she has this condition until she gets home, and it's been so wonderful. I also have apart from this book with the people that I've written, I have a book that is coming out in December 2022. It's called The Revolution, REHEAvolution. So, and it's just about stigmatization, breaking stereotypes, and you know, help for victims and survivors of abuse. That's what the poems in the book is about. It will be on the DOHS podcast website, that is www.dohspodcast.com, and our social media platform at DOHS Podcast on Twitter and on Instagram. So I hope that people will see it, read it, and you know, receive their healing through this.
Now, these poems, we can find them on your website.
Yes, some of the poems are on my website and my WordPress. On my Medium platform, ololadeajayi.medium.com. Those poems are there. But the collection of all these poems and the new ones that I'm right now producing will be on Amazon. That are going to come out in December. Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
And we're also preparing for something called the 16 Days of Activism. It happens in November 21st to December 10th. That's the 16th day of activism by the United Nations.
Was there one earlier this year?
No, it happens in November every year. But there have been several programs. But 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence is in from November 21st to December 10th. Yeah, so that's to fight to eradicate violence against women and girls.
Create awareness.
Yeah. So definitely we're going to be in communities. DHS podcast is going to be advocating, campaigning for, you know, and in communities in schools. So you get to see it on our website, and all of the stories of the people that, you know, has come to the podcast will also be in the poem, in the book, in the anthology coming up.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are some times that survivors that you have reached out to, or that have reached out to you and that are willing to share their stories, there are times they're feeling cold feet. You had instances.
Definitely.
It's a season of giving back. That's why Kia is expanding our partnership with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and making a donation for every eligible new car purchase during the holidays through Kia's Accelerate the Good program. Kia, movement that inspires.
Kia will donate $8 for every new Kia vehicle that is purchased or leased at authorized Kia dealerships and delivered to retail customers between November 11, 2022 and December 31, 2022, with a guaranteed minimum donation of $1 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. See kia.com/seasonofgivingback for details.
And so the thing is that sometimes you aren't, because for instance, there was one was a lady that, you know, I was actively involved in a rescue. It was a domestic violence case, and, you know, I was the one that went to report at the police station, and then brought the police to the house. They rescued her, and, you know, I was involved in getting her to let the case be prosecuted. And then for some reason, you know, it's still that story at the end of the day. She didn't want prosecution. I'm like, okay, so, but, you know, can you share your story anonymously just to let other women know, you know, the red flags that you didn't avoid, that you could have avoided, and that could help these other women to, you know, steer clear. You know, and she said, I'm not interested.
Maybe you still within that toxic environment?
Oh, of course not. We don't even, in fact, we strongly recommend that they leave their toxic environment. And that's why we immediately we see that there's abuse, someone reports abuse, we try to leave them up in shelters. The shelter.
Do shelters exist?
Of course, shelters exist. The government have shelters too, but oftentimes they're mostly, it's usually few. Have spaces. So we also advocate for government to do more about shelters for victims. Mostly it's private shelters that help us. So sometimes these victims, they don't even believe that their minds have not been disabused, or they're still afraid of, you know, or ashamed of their story. They don't want to share it. And sometimes you see some victims, they will tell me, oh, I want to share my story. I'll come to the podcast, I'll come to your studio, we'll record my story. And at the last minute, I will be at the studio meeting, calling. I discovered that they don't want to come, they've developed cold feet. What do I do? I still encourage them at the end of the day. Like, you still need time, you need to process. Yeah, it's their story at the end of the day. So they need to, first of all, make sure that their minds are disabused before they are able to share their stories. But some of them are so passionate that, you know, when we get people to come on the podcast to share their stories, okay, you don't have to use your name. It's a podcast, it's an audio production,
yeah,
it's not a
video.
You know, you don't have to use your name. Okay, I will use a pseudonym, say maybe Rita or Princess or something. And midway through the story, you see them mentioning names and talk about themselves and say their names. I'm like, I'll be winking, like, hi, you're being anonymous. Like, make I talk, let me speak. I'm like,
wow.
Okay. So they are still so passionate about, you know,
yeah,
maybe they've not opened up to anyone for a long time, and
they're
just speaking about Siri again, and that pain is resurfacing. You know, they maybe they cry, and, you know, and it's therapeutic in itself.
It is.
And there's something about you owning your narrative, letting people know that I'm not ashamed.
There is no shame in it.
Yeah, the victim, not the abuser, actually.
That's very interesting. Now let's talk about children. You said you've also helped children. Okay, so now let's talk about children. How do you help children? Who reports them, or who reports on their behalf?
Okay, so for children, what we do is that we have some people who are called community gatekeepers, or, normal part and say, like, whistleblowers, outdated reporters in the community. So, we have volunteers, like on the GHS podcast, we have some volunteers, so they are in different places in Lagos State, and they watch out in their communities for what is happening. So, you just get someone say, I get a case of saying, someone says that, abuse of a child. So, the nearest person I just was there, tries to find out, is this for real, is this happening, and if so, you know, they visit the police station in the case, and we make sure that that child, in the meantime, is rescued and put in the shelter. I had a case of a child whose mother died, and before the mother died, she just, you know, I didn't even know that it was a case of sexual violence. She says, when her husband wants to have sex with her, she refuses for one reason. He beats her and then he rapes her. Eventually, she fell away and she died. So, and the child in that case was not for the man, it's a stepdaughter. So, immediately I learned the woman died, I immediately ran to the police station. He says, okay, if you want to prosecute what happened between them is fine, but this child, I have to rescue this child. Because, I mean, there's been history of alcohol, and there's been history of, you know, the man beating up the woman because of sex. So you cannot leave a child with that kind of person, because who is to know if you know, he gets
what has there. Been,
So immediately, I went there, and he's asking me to his child is saying, oh, he's not going to do that. And his child protection unit in Alausa, and eventually we got the child rescued. The child has been placed in a home for young girls, and she's thriving, she's doing fine. Anytime I see her, my aunt is always like, girl, you did something.
Wow, that's so really
we are really particular about endangered children. Children should not have to grow up in an environment of fear. It impacts on their mental health. They're not able to perform well in any aspects.
They're not able to thrive.
We also address issues, several issues of cultural issues that constitute violence in our community. Female genital mutilation is a form of violence. I myself am a victim. I've spoken about it on my podcast, in my book. The practice should stop, but you see so many people. I've never had a case of the prosecution of someone involved in female genital mutilation. It's bad. You see people, so many people still being occasionally had child marriage. You know, it's so bad. In some communities, I went to a community and I saw several teenage pregnant girls. They were just looking and I'm like, who are the ones in pregnancy?
Is there someone in that place that takes advantage of them, offers them money or something?
No, it's basically because it's an impoverished community. Poverty is also a cause of gender-based violence. So, you just see these girls, like, it's called child-headed wounds. You see a child-headed wound, like, where children are the ones that are fearing for the wounds. Children, the teenage girl, the 14-year-old girl, will go out and bring money, bring food. And the parents don't say,
where did you get it from?
You know, they say, so, of course, that child is going to, you know, be abused, taken advantage of by someone. And, you know, there was a case I was involved in, and I was like, I'm going to report. This is where 16-year-old girl still in SS1 and SS2. And at the end of the day, by the time I was going to the police station, I called, oh yeah, let's go to the police station. Let's go and call the police. The woman was dragging her leg. Why? She said, the guys, people have come to drop my dress. 16-year-old, I'm like,
was she not in school?
She was in school. So when she reported, we went for a community advocacy program in that place. So she reported that 16 years old has not come home. So that she learned that one guy's all like, has multiple offenses, abduction, rape, sexual. We were going to report to the police station. So she said, okay, she will come back that weekend. Then that's when she will have time so that they will know that's the time they will be together. So before the weekend, she came. When I called her, okay, let's go. How about this child? Let's go and rescue the child. The length that we're coming to place with police, came with the child and started begging that she's already pregnant. I'm like, that is abuse, that's sexual abuse. As a 16-year-old pregnant in Nigeria, the legal age of consent is 18. So if you impregnate a 16-year-old child, even if she's the one that says, oh, you're a woman, you are the one that's going to be
present. Yes, you're alive.
The woman said, the guy that is her mother is late. I had no words.
You win some, you lose some.
You know?
You win some, you lose some.
I just let the girl know that at the end of the day, it's still true. If you want prosecution, you can still do that. We have shelters that you can still go to, even in your condition. You know.
So, would you like to read some of your poems?
Okay, so the book is titled We the People. I read this book in 2017. And that's the thing about poetry, it brings to every day. So I'm going to read a part about that was written for children who have been, you know, sold into marriage. The poem is titled Little Heart. It's on page 9. It says, "Fret not, little heart, even as your core is being invaded by aliens named angels. With your eyes closed and breath itched, he paints a dark graffiti in the barrier of your sanity. Weep not, little heart, even as a silent wall builds you a defense with a shield of morals and a sword of words, chanting our heart's slogan, child, not bride."
Yes, welcome back. We are moving on to the game section. Ololade, are you ready for my questions?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, I see your ginger.
Okay.
Now, this comes in two parts. The first part is never have I ever.
Okay.
You have 10 questions. And right. Then you have the option of 5. So, your first question, what number?
5.
Number 5. Never have I ever said I love you when I didn't mean it. Guilty.
Of course.
Who did you say it to?
So
is it to get the person off your back?
Like, I love you. I love you too.
Just let me go. All right. So, never have I even... Oh, excuse me. Your next question. I got carried away.
I'm an odd number person. 7.
Number 7. Okay. Never have I ever eaten leftover food from another team at a restaurant.
At a restaurant?
Who does that?
Nah, I haven't done that.
What about your own house?
In my own house?
From relatives.
That was that job now. That's my job.
Especially now that things are very expensive.
Exactly. You know, somebody says they don't eat fish, they don't eat some part of chicken. Like, okay, just drop it.
All right, so your next question.
Okay. Number 3.
3, odd number person. Okay. Mm. Never have I ever spent more than 20,000 naira on a night out.
On a night out? On an afternoon ourselves in this Nigeria. Our money, we got to help us.
We'll come back strong. It's a lot of money. What do you want to eat, by the way?
What do you want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the beach and say you want a platter of seafood, platter of fish and shrimps. The least that you get in most beaches is, I think, 12k.
Wow.
Because you need it and you will be done. And it's going to be sweet and you want to take more.
So they are going to entice you with it.
Yeah.
Alright, your next question.
Number 1.
Never have I ever ignored someone I knew in public.
I said yes, but you make me a bad
person. Oh no, it won't. You must have your reason.
I have done it several. There's a guy at my bus stop. I was saying, he wants to marry him. He wants to buy all this. I told my mom, I said, you don't look easy. I'm like, okay, I have a sister. When I told my sister, I showed him the picture. And I said, no. So every time I'm coming back home from the office, just at the bus stop, I just cross to the other side. I'm like, God forgive
me. That wasn't so bad.
Yes, that's 4 questions.
So, this, so should I?
Yes.
So your number.
Number 9.
Next question. Number nine. Never have I ever looked through my partner's phone.
Come off it.
You have.
Well, I think it's reduced nowadays. But in the beginning, I used to look.
Why?
When I found out that the person I'm looking through his phone is not even looking through my phone, and then whatever I see is not my own editing.
Like, girl, rest.
Rest. Rest in Jesus' name. Rest.
All right, your last question.
Okay.
Okay, number two. Never have I ever created a fake Instagram account.
No, I've created a fake Twitter account.
Why?
And I was fangirling someone, and some people were abusing her. That's crazy. Because you say, give them back,
you know, for them to collect.
Yeah,
all right, that was nice. So you stood up for that person?
Of course. Yeah, it was a BBN fan then.
Okay.
That was like my only time of watching BBN during lockdown, so I had the time. So anyway, you know, attacking that particular girl, I had to like let me create the answer.
All right. All right, so we are moving now to the how well do you know yourself segment. Okay. But this time I'll be asking the questions.
All right,
so your first question says, what is the no let me rephrase. Your first question is, was mediation and mitigation one of the things you were passionate about as well?
No, not mediation, but I have always been someone that, you know, it's a cheating. I have always stood up for people that I felt like they were helpless, you know, right from secondary school. In fact, so many times I've been beaten because two people were fighting, and I'm the one like, no, don't cheat, I want to, and I'm the one that collects. So I think I've always had it in me to, you know, stand up for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, therapy is something that started last year, but I've
and
been volunteering.
So much ground, right?
Yeah, but I've also been volunteering for several NGOs, you know, pro bono, to work with them in rescuing women and girls. But I've always been passionate about girls.
So that's lovely. All right. So your next question is: what's the highest pinnacle you would like DOHS podcast to get?
Yeah, so my dream is have my own NGO. I'm registering it soon as the, you know, an NGO, and an NGO that just addresses human rights abuse. So for both male and female this time around, and I also hope to own a shelter. Shelter, it's been my passion because, you know, so many sometimes that I rescue some children and they are not able to, you know, place them by the government initially, they're in my house for some period. So I really it knows who we married, that this is what I live for, this is my life, this is my passion. So it supports me in this. So to have a shelter for women and girls, for victims of abuse generally, and to own my NGO to be able to, you know, have digital solutions to ending sexual and gender-based violence. That's my dream.
Wow. Well, digital solutions, that's another one for me.
Yeah.
I look forward to having you again for us to have that discussion.
Yeah, so because someone told me that, you know, advocating for gender equality, you have to look at the way that the world is going. Like, you know, digital solutions. Technology, you can't avoid it.
Exactly.
If you can embrace technology, there's actually nothing that you cannot do.
All right, so your last question says, when was the last time you broke the law?
That I broke the law?
Or are you trying to tell me that you are an upright person 100%?
No, I'm not an upright person. I'm not a saint.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's been a long time because I try so very hard not to do this.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm all about, you know, preaching the law and all of that. But, you know, there are certain times, especially in police stations, whereby, you know, I report a case and I found out that they trying to, like, and I'm like, okay, you want to see the other side of me? Okay, I'm going to do this. I write petitions. So, but it's not still breaking love, it's just finding other ways of doing things. Or maybe I take a child to be placed in a governmental mandate. And like, the only thing that you're going to do for me is just to put them in a place legally.
Yeah.
This child is someone that I can even pay their school fees. So I can keep them with me, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to break them. I want to follow them. So, but I try as much as possible not to break it up. But I think with the work that I do right now, there was a day I was driving and I was passing. I was using Google Map, but I didn't know that that place was one way.
Google Map doesn't tell you that.
I'm telling you, it's so frustrating sometimes. So, you know, I was caught by some last mile officers, I think. And then, like, madam, this is, like, I'm following Google. I didn't know. Like, hey, what do you do now? I'm like, I've been covering because I was on my way to rescue the child that I'm like, you can take my car, you can take this, but I'm still doing the work that the government is supposed to do. I'm supposed to be the one being praised for this.
Yeah.
So, do you want to arrest me? Do you want to do this? And you know, I was just like, and I don't do this again. Please just draw my ears and, you know, they let me get away with it. And anytime I pass by that place, I don't know, for some reason, they just smacked my face. They say, ah, comrade! I'm like,
oh, that's so interesting. So we want to say a big thank you to you, Madam Ololade Ajayi. It's been nice and enlightening and eye-opening to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time.
We hope next time we call.
Definitely. I mean, I'm all about preaching the gospel of eradicating sexual and gender misbehavior. So anything to advocate the cause, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So you want to tell us again about your website?
Yes, the website is www.dohspodcast.com. D-O-H-S, documentizes, D-O-H-S, dot, D-O-H-S-P-O-D-C-A-S-T, D-O-H-S-podcast.com. If you want to share your story there, you just, you know, you click on share a story anonymously, or you have a contact number on the website as well. So please just call us if you want to reach out to us about a child being abused or a woman going through domestic violence. We are at your beck and call.
Thank you so much. And so we have come to a wrap of today's episode. I hope you've gotten quite a number of things to be able to help you or someone you know to find closure and heal. Until we come your way again next time, follow us across all social media platforms. AETV Live is the name to look out for. We are on iOS and Google Play Store. Download and subscribe. Don't forget, family is where life begins and love never ends. See you next time.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Listen, there's a reason the ultra wealthy have been investing in fine wine for centuries. Historically stable returns and a lack of volatility make it stand out compared to traditional assets, especially during a downturn. But now you can invest alongside with them with Vint. Vint is an SEC qualified investment platform that offers shares of the most sought after wines in the world. So join the thousands of investors diversifying with fine wine and spirits. Learn more at vint.co. For full investment disclosure information and more, visit vint.co.